turning this morning to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I trust that you are being ministered to from God's Word, from Romans. I know the Lord is doing me good through the study of this book. We're going to begin our reading today at verse 7 of Romans chapter 7. So let us consider carefully the holy, inspired, infallible Word of the living God. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Amen. We end our reading with those very solemn words, and we trust that the Lord will come today and by His Word and Spirit solemnize our hearts, that we would receive the truth that is able to save our souls. Romans chapter 7 and verse 8 is our text for today. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. I was thinking about this text over several days, and I was lying in bed before I went to sleep one night, and I was thinking about it. And all of a sudden, the thought came to me to share with you this morning. My father was a very kind and generous man. Until he was nearly 80 years old, he raised a huge vegetable garden each year. He loved sharing his produce with extended family, neighbors, and friends, expecting nothing in return. He often had the largest watermelons, the largest tomatoes, and the largest heads of cabbage in the whole area. Well, I thought about that because centuries ago, a simple farmer in France, like my father, raised a huge turnip. He was so proud of his turnip that he went before the king of France and presented it to him as a gift. The king was delighted with the simple kindness of the farmer. And so he decided to give him a reward. In terms of today's money, the king of France gave him $360,000 in silver. Then the turnip was carefully wrapped in silk and put among the king's treasures. Well, one of the members of the king's court saw this, and being a very covetous man, he decided to get a much greater sum from the king. So he went out and bought a very handsome horse and brought it to the king and presented it to him as a gift. The king, knowing something of this man's covetous attitude, he cheerfully accepted the horse. Then he ordered the turnip to be given to that member of his court, telling him that the turnip is a quite a valuable turnip. After all, it cost me thousands in silver. Well, the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 was dealing with covetousness. And in a verse, in chapter 7 here, he is continuing to show us the relationship between sin and the law. Now, there are three words in verse 8 that are suggested to me, and I trust that they will be suggestive to you in the very meaning of what is being communicated to us in this eighth verse. And the three words all begin with C. Commandment, concupiscence, and then I'm putting in a word here that I believe describes the last part of verse 8. For without the law, sin was dead. And what brought it to life but curiosity? So commandment. The first thing is commandment. He says here in the beginning of verse 8, but sin taking occasion by the commandment. Now the law is not the problem. Sin is the problem. Trouble arises not because of the law, but because of sin. Now this is a very interesting term. But sin taking occasion by the commandment. Taking occasion literally means a base of operation. So says John MacArthur, and I agree with him. He's right. This Greek term, taking occasion, means that the commandment was made by sin as a base of operation where an expedition could be carried out against our souls. Sin takes the law, which is holy, spiritual, just, and good, as we've been reading here, and sin uses the commandment as a base of operation against the soul. Sin rationalizes in the most deadly and devious ways. Now you think about how sin will move in our very minds a process of rationalizing. Sometimes sin just whispers, go ahead and enjoy yourself. Nobody's perfect after all. Laws were made to be broken. At other times, sin whispers, you can make up for this one later. So sinners indulge themselves in sin, thinking that later they will do penance for many days and earn credit with God. But it never happens. God is not impressed with man's works. Only Christ's works are acceptable to the Father. And the only way for our works to be acceptable to the Father are through Christ and through His mediation. Now, I am profoundly thankful to God for His strict, stern law that brought me one day face to face with the terrible reality of sin, and ultimately it drove me to Christ alone for salvation. Now, the commandment can be taken by sin and made a base of operation to carry out attacks against our souls. I now turn from the first thought, the commandment, to this next big word, to concupiscence. What a word! And there's one you certainly don't use every day. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Oh, we started today with a covetous man in the court of the French king. His lust was for wealth. This long word, concupiscence, if you look it up, simply means a strong desire or a lust. It is most often associated with the idea of sexual lust. Now, Saint Augustine was a real saint. Saint Augustine wrote much about concupiscence. And why did Augustine write so much about this? Augustine found Paul's writings very powerful in his own experience. And Augustine wrote much about concupiscence because when he was converted, he had been living immorally with a mistress, and he was not at all faithful to her. God's word and the preaching of Saint Ambrose, who was a true man of God, God's word and Saint Ambrose preaching brought Augustine to see his own rotten corruption and his depravity and his helplessness. He realized that he was a mass of evil and his heart was a cesspool of iniquity. Now that was Augustine. Concupiscence was the story of his life. He could say, as the Lord said of mankind in Genesis 6 and verse 5, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. The biblical, the Pauline, the Augustinian doctrine of sin is hated by 21st century man. It's hated right here in our state. There are those who hate God's law. And even God's law of what a marriage relationship is supposed to be between a man and a woman only. The biblical doctrine of sin is hated by man. That doctrine tells us that sin is enmity with God. Romans 8:7, the unregenerated mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The mind must undergo a complete renovation by grace. Only a regenerated, renewed mind can submit to the law of God. The founders of our country knew that our founding documents were only good and useful for a godly people. The Bible doctrine of sin not only reveals man's enmity to God, but also man's rebellion and refusal to submit to what's right. Basically, man is a lawless being. I don't want laws. I don't want governing. Sin is lawlessness. It is hatred toward order, hatred toward law, and hatred toward God. It is refusal to submit to rightful authority. After all, modern man is full of wisdom and knowledge. His technology is amazing. So why should we have to obey anybody? Rebellious man just wants to live his life in his own way. Why should there be any punishment anyway for anybody? Children in school should not be punished. They should just be encouraged. They shouldn't have exams. No one should have to be afraid of failing. Everyone should be accepted just as they are. No one should be condemned by a court to die for a crime because they can be rehabilitated. Now, this is all of modern psychology. It tells us that positive treatment can make them into good citizens. I say, dream on. The Bible is clear. God says, thou shalt not covet. Man says, it isn't fair. As long as I don't do sinful outward actions, I should not be judged by God. He's going too far now. This is an impossible standard. Lost, rebellious man does not want to face the fact that even his inmost thoughts are constantly being surveyed and open to the inspection of the triune God. Well, we come, God helping us, to get a little more personal with ourselves before God. We come from the commandment to concupiscence. And finally, we come to curiosity in verse 8. For without the law, sin was dead. But the law has come and it has awakened the sleeping lion in our hearts. Before the law entered into the heart with such awesome power, our feelings toward many sins were dormant and seemed as good as dead. Have you ever thought about that? There are sins out there you may not have any problem with because you don't think about them, you don't have any desire to them. But if suddenly the prohibition was put in front of you, then that curiosity, what is this all about, would come alive. The law's prohibitions have stirred up our curiosity. Because of man's sinful nature, prohibitions increase desire for more and more sin. Those corruptions that were before latent and seemingly dead revive, gather strength, and stand up to be reckoned with. This is not God's problem. It is the terribly deceitful nature of sin, using that which is good for the suggestion of evil. Now, take that thought right there. The law. Right there in verse 8. For without the law, sin was dead. But because the law has come with power, something that's good, sin can use that which is good to suggest evil. Now I want to say this. Sinners run after evil as beagles naturally run after little rabbits. And this is a battle that every one of us must face, especially for older children, teens, and adults. This is a battle that we have to wage on a personal, daily level with the media. Whether you're using a newspaper, a magazine, a library, a television, a computer, a phone, or whatever newfangled device, there will be assaults very regularly made upon your curiosity. Sin will ever work to entice the sinner, even using good things like the law. You see that? Sin is so deceitful, it will use something good like the law of God, which is called right here in our reading this morning in chapter 7. The law is holy, spiritual, just, and good. And yet, sin will try to use that which is good to throw us off the track. Okay, I'll just use my most sinful self as an example. I'm only doing my duty when I go back there in the morning and check and see who died. See if I need to go to the funeral home or whatever, or check the weather. Do I need to leave some water running? I probably still have water. I don't know if anybody closed the kitchen cabinet doors in there and turned the water off in the kitchen. But, you know, if you check and you see how cold it's going to get, Jerry said you better leave some water dripping. So it might still be dripping in there. Okay, so I go and I check the weather, how cold it's going to be. All right. Now, whatever. And then, you know, here you go. And then there comes through something good, a temptation. And I am so thankful that what happens on the internet here goes to my wife and goes to the church officers. Hallelujah for that. But I want to say this. It's disturbing when you just try to do the legitimate things of life and right there. You have a temptation that's presented, a curiosity. There will be, from very good bases of operations, attacks made upon your soul. Temptations to sin. So be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You notice I left something out of that verse. As a roaring lion. Because sometimes he will indeed try to make a coward out of you, being the roaring lion. But he also slithers along as the bright, shiny serpent who would catch your eye with glitter and even loveliness in order to destroy you. 2 Corinthians 11:3, the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. What is that? He deceived Eve through his craftiness. Now, what verse, 2 Corinthians 11:3, that verse warns us not to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, that's a very interesting word, simplicity. Because in Romans 16, verse 19, we are told to be simple concerning evil. We are commanded to be simple concerning evil. We are not to satisfy our curiosity about every evil thing in the universe. There are plenty of sins that I want to know nothing about. Hallelujah! There are plenty of sins I want to be totally ignorant of. People think, oh, where did you come from? I mean, are you alive in the 21st century? Don't you know what we're talking about? I haven't got a clue. Hallelujah! There's a lot of sin. I don't want to know anything about it. Don't tell me. Okay. Being knowledgeable about every form of filth is not the way to avoid it. Many people have read. Martin Lloyd-Jones told about a preacher he knew that read a book. And that preacher said, I wish I had never read that book. Many people have read and seen things that they wish were not so etched into their memories. But what does modern psychology say? Modern psychology says, you know, you gotta educate the kids on everything. They gotta know everything about everything. Okay? Modern psychology does not have the right recipe for intellectual and spiritual purity. Oh, my friend, may the Spirit of God absolutely convince you of the Bible doctrine of sin, of total depravity, of total inability, because there are good reasons to be convinced of that. Being convinced of these realities and these very truths that God are what God uses, number one, to bring our hearts to an absolute dependence on Christ's blood alone for salvation. And secondly, being convinced of these biblical truths help us with an earnest hungering and endeavoring after a holy, sanctified heart and a closer walk with God, like we were just singing about. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame. And we started today by looking at a simple French farmer and a covetous French nobleman. Let us simply seek the things which are above and have our affection set on Christ first and foremost, that we not be taken away with these awful, evil things. May God bless His word to our hearts. O Lord, we confess to Thee that we need Thy grace continually in an evil world. And Lord, we do confess that even if we could get away in a cave somewhere, away from all, that we would be like Luther. We would still find that there's so much in our hearts that we would have to war against as well. So Lord, we need Thy grace in the Christian warfare. Oh Lord, we thank Thee for Thy commandments. And it is very grievous to us that our sin nature is such that even that which is good can be made by sin a base of operations against our very souls. We pray, oh God, that Thou wilt help us today. Oh God, minister grace to our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt strengthen us to do battle for Thee, to to live for Thy glory. And we praise Thee that in a dark and corrupt world, that as Thou dost give more light and grace to us, that we will indeed stand out and shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. We thank Thee for Thy truth. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.